C1PR. Number 3B.
That's the wonderful law of creation, that when we worship spiritually, something is bound to happen. That's the law of spirit. So we don't have to worry, is anything going to happen? What we have to worry is our approach to God. Are we going to keep this vision warm? Or are we giving to this vision just an hour warmth and 23 hours and a half coldness? It's not a question of deep search, that's mine. Then it's more that question, that which I have searched and which has sprung into life in my consciousness. Am I going to carry that around? Wherever I go and wherever I be, do I carry that around and love it and value it and think that's more worth than anything else? No matter what we do, no matter if we have to go into the kitchen or to the office or to this or to that, that doesn't matter. The thing that matters is, what do we value more? The one or the other? And spirit. And only spirit unfolds. Why did we expect that our study would unfold something new? Where we studied that mind is the creator. We studied that mind is not the unfoldment. We knew it, and yet we expected mind to unfold. We are so, sometimes so superficial in what these wonderful, fundamental seven pillars of consciousness mean. We should have been most surprised if our study would have brought forth a lot of fruits. Most surprised would have been against the Word of God. The Word of God says, you start with mind, and we start with mind. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to have a divine basis. And then comes spirit, where we say, well, do I love that basis more than anything? And do I show forth that I show it more than anything? Do I give credit to this, that inwardly credit to this, that it is much more worthwhile than anything else? Am I inwardly so grateful and so sincere that I really feel, well, what a rich man I am. What a rich woman I am. I have found real values. These questions must be asked. And these questions each one can ask himself and find the answer how much we have viewed this wonderful picture of science from the point of view of spirit or not. But the point is, as we will see tomorrow in the chapter on prayer, that this worshipping naturally can be cultured. That it isn't a thing which one either has or has not. Because any science must be such that any new tool or element of this science can be gotten hold of. And so it is true, if we find out, well, if I'm quite honest with myself, no, I don't think I valued it above everything. I think I didn't value it above everything. Well, what's about it? There's no harm to be honest with oneself. It's the best thing to be honest with oneself. It gives us a start to find the solution. You see, thinking over this tone, how spirit is the life-giving quality of mind, we really find, if we go through the ideas of each synonym, we really find that only spirit and life have in themselves qualities of progress and multiplication. In all the other synonyms, we never find touches of unfoldment, of progress, of multiplication, except in spirit and in life. So it's quite natural. Everyone, it's inherent really in human nature that he wants to have success, real success, that he wants to unfold, that something is going to happen, that the newness of life is something which he can experience. So let's have it. But to have it, we have to go the order. Take For instance, the parable in Matthew, the parable of the talents. I was very struck there how Jesus illustrated this great fact through that parable. You know, it's that parable, I don't know exactly the words, how a husbandman went away and he gave to three of his servants talents. To one he gave one talent, to the other he gave two talents, to the other he gave five talents. The one who had five talents, after the master came back, he could give back to again five talents more. The one who had two talents could also give the double. See, it was a big unfoldment, a big progress. And the one who only had one talent had buried it, and he had to give, he couldn't give back more than what he got. Well, why did Jesus take 1, 2, 5? Why didn't he take 4, 9, and 13? Or anything like that? Well, he couldn't. He taught the wonderful way of life. He said, it's always like this. That which unfolds and brings forth and gives progress and which multiplies is spirit and life. That's the birth of the new individuality. It's the newness of life. He said, yes, if we have but one talent and are satisfied with having this one talent with mind, well, we bury it. It can't live. It's dead as a dodo. Because mind alone, no, I'm not quite correct, you the first day alone is not enough. It's just the creative ability. And only the second day comes and says, all right, if you worship me, if you value me, if you love me above everything, if you care for me, if you adore me, if you find me hello, holy, well, then spirit unfolds that which you have in your mind. And it unfolds your vision and brings forth new fruits. And so only those, the one who had two and the one who had five talents could have more than before. The one who had one talent and stayed with this one, he couldn't have more. It isn't just chance that he said, well, that one didn't have more. He depicted that state, that mental state of the first day, which is satisfied with studying and studying and studying and studying until the whole thing is buried in the letter. A similar illustration we have in the feeding of the 5,000. There again, in the feeding of the 5,000, we have the 2 and the 5. It's the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves. It's the 2 fishes which Mr. Dawley so nicely explained, said it's the Christ Spirit. It's that second stage of the Christ Spirit and the 5 loaves symbolizing the Word of life. And only on the ground of this second and fifth day, that wonderful combination of the newness of life, of the birth of individuality, was it possible and is it possible to have multiplication? With mind and life, we just can't have it. It's against the world order. It's against the nature of the whole world order. And so, we don't need to be disillusioned about what we have done. We have done the best, but let's go on. Let's follow the word, and let's go to spirit. And so, I plead you, when you go through the textbook and perhaps work out those questionnaires, and when you read those few pages which we want to discuss, try to be a woman. Have that conceptive sense. That wonderful conceptive sense which is satisfied with the least, smallest light of understanding and says, that's something, and that weighs up already the whole earth. So I am going to value it. I'm going to carry it around with me. I just press it to my bosom, and I'm giving it the warmth of my heart. And I don't let it go anymore. And all the rest of the whole world just can't weigh it up. How wonderful that is. That's the worship of spirit. And as we do that, And as we do that, nothing happens outwardly. But don't be disillusioned again. But as we go on doing it, and as we go on doing it, we see that a lot of things has happened inwardly and quietly in the sanctuary of spirit before we noticed it. And little by little it just begins to blossom and blossom and blossom. It can't help blossoming. Or God isn't spirit. If God is spirit and spirit is that wonderful tone which says, I'm a fulfillment. Well, if we approach spirit through spirit and not through mind, we open our heart to unfoldment, and we have unfoldment. This sense of worship of the second day, you see, I hope you see that I'm not speaking of the synonymous term, spirit. That's the absolute. I'm just down at the little foundations, but I love them. You see, that second has another warm sense in it. It is that second day of creation where we only begin to separate the waters above from the waters beneath. It's separation but not destruction of the wrong. In that second stage, we don't destroy the false. We just separate. We have just first that sense, where is my heart? On which side? On this side or on this side? But both grow, as in the parable of the tares and the wheat, they grow side by side. And in that parable of the tares and the wheat, it's so interesting to see that it were the servants who wanted to destroy the wheat, the tares, destroy the tares. The servant, the master made the physician. He doesn't. He says, no, quiet, just take it slowly. Let it grow. That's the master metaphysician. He is not going at the second step of spiritual unfoldment to try to knock down everything which is not spiritual. It just doesn't. And the first chapter on prayer just doesn't. And the second chapter of prayer, second chapter on Atonement and Eucharist just doesn't. And the third chapter in the textbook on marriage just doesn't. The master metaphysician says, no, I lead you gently up. And the second day is where your heart is, there will you be. But it doesn't destroy the tares. So let it grow. There comes a time, there will be the harvest, the wheat is gathered into the barn, tares will be burned up, and that's all right. But your second step is let it grow. But the second is, where is your heart? It would be completely cruel to try to knock down and destroy everything which is not spiritual when we have only grown through the first day and are trying a little bit to live that second day. So this is the comfort of this order, which says to each one of us, you see, it isn't so difficult as you think, because you only have first to separate your values. The weight of your love, you must first know on which side you want to put it. But the other side, you can let it go, just as it is today. Let everything go in human life, just as it is. We carry on our body. Why destroy our body? Why destroy our business? Why destroy our income? Why destroy everything? Because it's not spiritual. Foolish. Second day says, no. Let the wheat and the tares grow side by side. But I ask one thing, where is your heart? And that's natural. Then this unfoldment is not brutal. Then it is not cutting away something which one doesn't really want to cut away yet. Then it isn't asking something of us which we can't fulfill. If this world order is dominated by love and it ends in love, then it must be so gentle and it must be so nice and loving and so adaptable and pliable that it is not something impossible on us, but that it is something possible on us, something which can be done and which can be done graciously. But let's see the order. The order tells us that very clearly. And what happens? What happens metaphysically? The moment we begin to worship and adore and value the spiritual just a little bit more than the other, just above all the other, that we give it perhaps the first place and not the second and third and fourth place, that begins to strengthen in our spirit. That begins to give us strength for our day. And as we will see tomorrow, she already depicts this wonderful law of spirit in the chapter on prayer, which says, where do you want to get your strength from, your spiritual strength from, if you haven't got it? Said, I'll show you. And she shows it through the second prayer. Says, how we get that spiritual strength, which enables us to stand for the Spirit, which doesn't give us that sense that we always have to struggle like hell and to fight like hell to be a little bit in line with the spiritual. If we ever feel we have to fight and fight and fight and struggle like hell to be in line with the spiritual, something is wrong. And that which is wrong is that we don't fight on the plane of the second day, but that we fight mentally. In the spiritual, we just love that which is more valuable and let that which is less valuable just grow too, side by side. Not worrying what is coming out, knowing well that as we do that and worship the spiritual, it grows on us, and it grows on us, and it grows on us, it becomes strength in us. And when we have strength, there is no more fighting. We just can resist. Because strength is defined as the power to resist. And as it grows, and it grows, we experience the new birth. And we have really the new birth, the birth of spirit. For which Mrs. Eddy says so gently, she says, the new birth is not the work of moments. It begins with moments, and it goes on with years. Moments of self-abnegation, self-consecration. Can you hear those nice tones of the spirit, of the worship of spirit, of heaven-born hope and spiritual love? Says, that's it that brings the birth. We would like to be newborn. Every one of us likes to be newborn. How? How can we be newborn? We can't be newborn by knowing that spirit gives birth. We just can't. This is what Mrs. Eddy says in Caution in the Truth. She says an absolute statement is an absolute statement. He's right, but he doesn't do a trick. She says an absolute statement is right if we approach this absolute statement through a scientific approach. And this absolute statement that spirit gives truly and really a new birth is approached through the worship of spirit. The worship of spirit, the adoring of spirit, the adoring of spirituality, the adoring of what science is, what it does for the world, what it will mean for the world, what it ever will do for the world. Whatever we can, from whichever angle we can see, we can just see it big and great. Well, if it's big and great in our heart, then we are big with time. Then we are big with time. And unless we open our womb, it can't grow. There is no conception. And so it cannot be old. And so nothing can come forth. And so there is no new birth. So we have that sense of the new birth, the birth of individuality. Spirit tells us second day tells us as a wonderful quality, patience. Patience. There is no unfoldment unless there is patience. And the moment we try to force unfoldment, we destroy it. With every plant, with everything, it unfolds in its ordered way. And so it is with us. And since a year, I'm just flabbergasted how idiotic I have read the text. I have always thought, well, we should make quick progress. And Mrs. Eddy asks us to make quick progress. If we are faithful, students, we should make quick progress. But when I read the textbook with open eyes, she says the contrary. She says, no, the progress is very slow. Progress is very slow. She says, I just want to read you a few of them. She says, well, the one we had in Caution of the Truth, no stubborn purpose to force conclusions will unfold us a higher sense of deity. If honest, she says in the textbook, if honest, the disciple will be in earnest from the start and gain a little each day in the right direction, till at last he finishes. A little every day. I always want to have a lot every day. She says, the recognition of spirit and of infinity comes not suddenly, here or hereafter. She said it doesn't come suddenly. We always like it to come suddenly. The pious Polycarp said, I cannot turn at once from good to evil. Neither do other mortals accomplish the change from error to truth at a single bound. Said the revelation of truth in the understanding came to me gradually, and apparently through divine power, but it came gradually. She says, the letter of science plentifully reaches humanity today, but its spirit comes only in small degrees. She says it. But I always read it. Well, it must come at once. The quicker the better. She says, the footsteps of thought rising above material standpoints are slow and portend a long night to the traveler. She says, but the human self must be evangelized. This task God demands us to accept lovingly today and to abandon as fast as practical the material. No, only as fast as practical. He doesn't say, no, it must be impractical. It must be damned, non-natural. That's what usually is in our thing. The moment we see something big, we become damned, unnatural. I shouldn't say that. Then we try to cut away. We cut away smoking and drinking and this and that, and no more do this and no more do that and no more this, and asking, am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? I shouldn't do this anymore. I shouldn't do that anymore. Unnatural as anything. Spirit in the second day only says there is a separation between the waters beneath and the waters above. But they are. But doesn't the wheat grow side by side? Where is your heart? He says, emerge gently from matter into spirit. Gently. So, that's the tone of spirit of the second day, which I would like to be ruling our heart in the forthcoming year. When we go through the chapter, let the heart also speak, and not only the brain, the things. Well, we make here a little break.